how you can be a part of it. So my name is Valerie Goff. I'm from West Texas. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that area. A lot of times I say Big Spring, they're like, where is that at? It's like 7 hours from here. But I was born and raised there. I attended Southwestern Assemblies of God University in the fall of 2010. My first semester there, God was really pressing on my heart for me to do missions, to be a missionary. I met with my missions director, you know, sat down, talked with him, asking him really what that was going to look like, what it was about, and he was just like, you know, it's where you go overseas, and you minister, and you tell people about Jesus. I was sitting down right in front of him, and I thought to myself, yeah, that's not for me, not for me. So I went to change my major to church ministries, and there was two reasons why I didn't want to do missions and why I was scared of it, and it's because I didn't want to be away from my family, and I didn't want to lose my life. If you go overseas and you proclaim Jesus, sometimes you'll die for, you know, telling others about Jesus. And that scared me in that moment. And so I said, I'm not going to do it. Changed my major to church ministries. And for 5 months, the first, you know, semester I was at SAGU, God was really, really dealing with my heart to go and do missions. And I said no. Countless times I said no. And that 5 months I was being disobedient. I'm like, God, if this is something that you want me to do, give me a sign. And he would give me a lot of signs, and I would be like, I need another sign. I really don't know that this is you speaking to me. One of those times I was in a classroom, and we would have speakers come in, and this guy was, you know, he was praying, and he was just like, I really, you know, the class was probably about 10 people, and he was like, I just really feel that God is telling me there's somebody in here that's struggling. Like, he explained my life. Somebody in here is struggling with doing missions, and you need to do it. And I just started sobbing. I was crying. And I looked around. Nobody else was crying. But in that moment, I was like, I don't know if God was speaking to me. And I said, I need another sign. Like, and finally, when God was dealing with my heart and I decided to do missions and I said yes to God, and the reason why I said yes to him and I finally submitted to what he was asking me to do is because I was envisioning my life 10 years down the road doing what I wanted to do. You know, a lot of times, we want to do our own thing. You know, God's telling us to do something, and we want to go and do our own thing. And I was envisioning what my life would look like 10 years down the road, and I was going to have to pick up my mess. I felt like 10 years down the road, I was going to be like, man, God, man, I should have listened to you. I should have listened to you, and now I'm having to pick up all of the mess and stuff that I did because I didn't listen to God. And I didn't want to go through that. I didn't. And there's a lot of people that I know in my life, and they look at my life, and they're like, wow, Valerie, that's awesome that you're obedient and you overcome, you know, you overcame not wanting to do what you wanted to do and doing what God was asking you to do. And there's others that I know that are not being obedient to what God's asking them to do, and they're doing their own thing. And then now they're picking up their mesh, trying to do what God's asking them to do. So I finally submitted. And once I did that, God opened up so many doors for me. It's like once you step out, he's going to open the doors that nobody else can open. And I got the opportunity to go to El Salvador on a mission trip. And I went to El Salvador the following year after that in 2012 on an internship for 3 months. It was difficult. It was hard. I didn't like it. I questioned. I doubted. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do missions. Maybe this isn't for me. It was hard. It was difficult. Yes, I'm in the ministry, but it's not easy sometimes. And sometimes I want to give up, even though I'm, you know, doing what God's asking me to do. But I have to press forward. And I can't, you know, because God didn't give up on us on that cross. He was there. And so I have to do it for him. He left the responsibility here for not just me, for everybody, to tell others about Jesus Christ. And we need to be doing it. We all have a purpose in this life. Wherever you are working, there's people that you know that might not know Jesus Christ. And that's your opportunity. We're all missionaries to tell others about Jesus and what he's done for them. And it doesn't have to look like you have to shove Christ down their throat. Just build that relationship. Just love on them. And I promise you. I promise you that there's going to be a time in their life that they're going to be struggling, and they're going to be going through something, and they're going to run to you for prayer. Can you please pray for me, my family? You know, I'm struggling. You know, my parents are going through a divorce or whatever that person is going through, that you can be there for them and you can minister to them in that way, and that can open up a door for them to come to church and for their family to come to church. And so once I graduated in 2013, I went home for a year. And one thing for me I struggle with in missions is wanting to do what I want to do and wanting to have security. Because being a missionary, you have to, you know, be funded by churches, by family and friends, and it's very difficult sometimes. My life is literally like in God's hands, and I have to trust Him to provide for all of my needs. And sometimes I struggle with that, and I want to walk away from what God's asking me to do to go get a normal job and just to have that monthly income check coming in. But God's asking me not to do that. He's like, daughter, trust me. I'm going to provide for you. And with me being in missions for going on 2 years, He has provided, and people have given, you know, to what God's doing in my life. And it's just so awesome to see. But in May 2013, I graduated, went home for a year, and then I started the process to go overseas and work with Spain. It's in with Project Rescue. They fight against human trafficking. And it didn't work out because I needed to do a few things. So I called the Assemblies of God headquarters in Springfield, Missouri, to maybe start working here in the United States against sex trafficking. And I asked them if they knew any organizations that were fighting it, and they told me about Free International. I applied. I got approved last year and raised my funds in 2 months, and I left in September. I've been there. You know, this is going on my second year. Free International is a faith-based nonprofit organization that fights human trafficking. And before I go into that, I just want to ask the audience, have you heard of human trafficking before? Have you come into contact with it? Have you just raised your hand if you've heard about, yeah, everybody's, yep, heard about human trafficking. Maybe you've seen, like, Taken, or you've heard about it happening here in Houston, Texas. So human trafficking is the exploitation of a person through force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of commercial sex or forced labor. And one stereotype that I just want to break down is a lot of times we might have the mentality of a girl out on the street. She's 23 years old, and we think that she chose this life, and this is something that she wants to do for herself. Because when you're 18 or older, you get to make your own decisions. You get to choose what you want to be in life and do. And sometimes we might have that mentality of like, oh, she's filthy, she's dirty. We don't have any compassion for her. You know, she's 23 years old. This is something she chooses and wants to do. And that's kind of the mentality that I had before going into Free International. I feel like these girls out in the street, sometimes they throw themselves out there. They throw themselves to men, and I'm just like, they want this. This is something that they want to do. But then when I started working for this organization, I really started understanding that, no, it's not a choice, because the average age for a girl to enter into prostitution is 12 to 14 years old. So when you're 12 to 14 years old, you don't have the decision to say, I want to be a prostitute, that this is something that I want to do. And it's just really sad to see these girls being prayed into this. And you have a part in this. Everybody in this room has a part in this. It has to do with our children, and they're going through a lot. They've been sexually abused. They're in the foster care system. The family structure is all messed up. They don't have a father figure, or they don't have a mom in their life. And so they're going to run to what they want. These men, they're at a young age. It happens a lot of times in schools, junior high, high school. These boys will pray on our children, and they'll see they need love. That's the number one thing that these boys and girls that are being trafficked is they want love. Don't we all want love? I want love. I'm sure everyone in this room wants to be loved by somebody. And so these kids, they're going through so much, and these boys prey on them, their vulnerabilities, and they'll meet them where they are. They will figure them out. They don't need to say, these kids don't need to tell the guy, this is what I'm going through, I need this, this, this. He will figure the girl out, and he will give her everything that she wants. He will buy her clothes and nice stuff, Michael Kors purses. He'll feed her. He'll give her a place to stay if she's, you know, she ran away from home. He'll give her everything. And then with that time, 6 months in, he's going to build that trust with her. He's going to make that relationship. He's going to act like her boyfriend. And then 6 months later, he's going to be like, oh, we're struggling with money. I really need money right now. And he's going to, you know, tell the girl, maybe you should go work out on the street. And it's only going to just be for a little bit, a little time, and then you don't have to do it anymore. So we can get a place to stay, or we can pay for our rent, or we can have some more money coming in. And she's going to be like, all right, I'll do it. But then later she's going to realize it's never going to be an ending cycle. It's just going to keep on going and going and going. And sometimes these pimps, these boys that prey upon girls, they have a lot of, you know, 5-6 girls working under them. And it's just really sad to see it's happening here in Houston, Texas. There's about 300 plus brothels in the state of, or in Texas, in Houston, Texas. And in the state of Nevada, there's a lot of different ministry opportunities that Free International is doing. I go into 2 of the brothels. In the state of Nevada, it's the only place where brothels are legal. So I go into 2 of them, and I just bring gifts, minister to the girls, and just love on them. I don't go in there and look down upon them. they're like in lingerie. I don't judge them or anything for their life at all. I just love on them, and they just come to me and they open up and they tell me their struggles. They tell me the things that they're going through. And in that moment, I'm just like, God, this is you. This is you. You know, we don't have to judge them for where they are. I just love them where they are. And God is going to open up that opportunity for us to minister to them. And a lot of times I'll come into contact with people and they're like, have they come out of the life? Have they come out of, you know, living in the brothel? And I'm just like, no, you know, and I'm pretty sure I explain it to this. I'm like, sometimes we have family members in our life. We've known them for 15, 20 years. They're not following Christ. It's a process. It's a process. I'm not perfect. I go through things sometimes. I always have to work at my relationship with God. Everything's a process. I'm no better than any one of you guys in this room. And so I go into the brothels. We work at the Super Bowl the week before the Super Bowl and just doing a lot of ministry opportunities. We'll hand out a missing kid booklet. This is one that we did in Phoenix, Arizona. It has 104 missing boys and girls in the area, California, Phoenix, New Mexico, Nevada. We just hit up the whole, you know, city of Phoenix. We hand these missing kid booklets out to staff members in the hotels because that's where these kids are going to be going to. And we do online research, Backpage, Craigslist. That's another gateway where girls and boys are prostituted. If you might not know that happens here, I can look up on Backpage, Craigslist for a lot of girls that are being prostituted in this area of Houston, Texas. It's crazy when I start sitting down and telling people, their mind is just blown of what is happening in the United States here. You know, sometimes we don't think that it's happening here. We think that it happens overseas, but it's happening in our community. I'm pretty sure there's a brothel not far from this church, in a house or in a massage parlor, and girls are being trafficked. You know, they've been sent over from Mexico here, and men just purchase girls for sex, to be very blunt with you. Like, that is what sex trafficking is. And these girls sometimes are young, and sometimes they'll come from Mexico, and they're very scared or feel fearful of getting help. You know, sometimes they're like, why don't they go ask for help? Like, we live in the United States. But the person that they're working under will scare them and say, if you do go to law enforcement, I'm going to take away your documentation. Just scare them to not go and get help. Or a lot of times these girls will see murders happen in front of them, so they don't run to their family. Or the pimp will say, I'm going to go kill your mom and dad. And he's serious. Like, he's not playing any games. When he says that, I'm going to go after your family, like, he's going to go after your family. And so these girls are very, and boys are very fearful of getting any help. And so they're trapped in it. And statistically, it says 7 times, if a girl or boy escapes out of it, she's going to go back to the life 7 times. I mean, it's kind of like domestic violence. You're in a domestic relationship, and you go back. You get out, and you go back. It's the same cycle for these girls and these boys. So we work at the Super Bowl. We do just hitting up the hotels. We do online research. We go into the high schools, and we just raise awareness to the students. You know, a lot of times they don't know that this is happening or that they're a victim, and we're just telling them that they can be a hero and they can say something in their school. And it's really cool. I had the first opportunity to do that when we were in Phoenix, to just be in front of all these high school students. They're like, oh, we get to get out of class. Like, this is awesome. And then just to see them at the end, them be so touched by the presentation that they saw. And it's an awesome presentation that we do. You know, we show, we have a speaker, a video, a speaker, a video, a speaker, a video, just to keep them engaged. Because, I mean, high school students, you'll lose them within the first 5 minutes if you don't. And so we're just raising awareness to the students and just doing a lot of outreach opportunities. And I just want to let you guys know that in 2017 of January, February, Free International will be here because the Super Bowl is in Houston, Texas. And so we're going to be doing a lot of outreach opportunities, and I would love for everyone in this room, if you would like to be a part of that. We look for volunteers to just go out. We're going to invade Houston and just hit the streets, hand out, you know, downtown in the city, hand out missing kid flyers of boys and girls that are missing. And this was very successful. Out of this 104, there was 26 that were rescued. And I don't want to give credit to Free International or, you know, but they praise God that 26 were found and not in the life anymore. So amen to that. Amen to that. And I don't know the stories of the ones that have been rescued and out of the life. Once they're taken in, law enforcement places them where they need to be, but it doesn't matter. Like, they're not, you know, they're not in it anymore. So it's really awesome. That's one piece of the puzzle that we do. I also go into the brothels. We do mission trips. So if there's anyone interested in here wanting to go on a mission trip to Las Vegas. There's an opportunity. It's a five-day trip. We train you, and then you're able to do outreach with us and bring that back here to your community. And there's something, you know, because it happens here, and you can do something about it. We engage the faith community where they can pray, raise awareness, serve, and fundraise. They can start a human trafficking ministry. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to do, and it's happening here. I'm pretty sure that y'all have youth, and there's youth that go through a lot of things and are struggling with a lot of different things, but sometimes they might be getting and coming into contact with this, and for you to be, you know, aware of it and to help them through this issue. So everybody has a part in this. Please love your children, because that is where these pimps will prey on the girls if they're not loved by, you know, their mom, their dad, or their family structure is all messed up, that they're going to just run to the wrong thing. And so that's just a little piece of what we do, and there's opportunities for you guys to be involved. And I know in June, I worked with an organization here in Houston, Texas called Elijah Rising, and they're a faith-based organization. And if you're really interested in wanting to do something here in your community, that's a gateway where you can be involved. And I went out on the streets at the end of June. It's every fourth Friday that they go out. You go and pray, and they have different ministry opportunities. And I hit the streets in Houston and ministered to the prostitutes. And in my mentality, I was thinking, I'm not going to see any prostitutes walking on the street. No, that's not going to happen. And there was a lot of girls walking. We would just go up to them. We would pray for them. They're very young. I'm like, how old are you? 20, 21. I'm just like, wow. And sometimes they're not receptive at all to hear what you have to say. But they'll say, yeah, you can pray for me. My name's you can pray for me. I'm like, okay. Some of them just didn't even want to talk to you. And some were. They would listen to you. But if we're consistent and we keep doing it, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a time where they're not going to have a good day and they're going to open up to you. So if you're interested in that, come please talk to me after service. I have a table set up outside, and it has a lot of information about mission trips if you're interested, or what you can do here. I have my business card. If you ever at any time come into contact with somebody that's been trafficked, you don't know what to do, like, call me and I will help you. We have an internship program. If you want to go out to Las Vegas and do all the things that I'm doing, you have an opportunity to do that. Just pray about it. I would ask, pray about it and listen to where God's leading you to go. But before I leave, I just want to mention a scripture that I have been going over, and it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Everybody would open up their Bibles, and when you find the scripture, if you could please stand. Are we all there yet? We're good? Okay. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And that's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. The first part of it in verses 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. God is wanting us to trust him in everything. And there's a lot of times where I struggle with that. I think we all struggle with trusting God sometimes, to surrender over our life to him and that he's going to guide us and direct us where we need to go. You know, for me, it was very difficult to trust him to do missions. I had to give him my life and trust him with it. And that was very, very scary and difficult for me to do. But when I finally submitted to doing that, it just been worth it. When I look back at my life 5 years ago, it's been so worth it to just surrender over my life to him. He's going to do awesome and great things. He's going to open up doors for us. And it's very difficult sometimes for us to trust in him with our whole heart. We struggle with that. I'm pretty sure there's people in this room that struggle with trusting God with their life, with trusting God with relationships, with trusting God with family situation or whatever. You know, I barely had an incident. My uncle got sick, and it was like, in that moment, when chaos happens, because it's going to happen, you know, we live in a life where it's like, we're good, we're not so good, we're good, we're not so good, just roller coaster all the time. And in that moment, it was very, I was like, oh my gosh, but God had to remind me of this verse, to trust in him with all my heart, lean not on your own understanding. What does he mean by that? To not lean on your own understanding. You know, sometimes in situations we're going to think like, oh, I should do, you know, our mind and our heart, they're going to tell us two different things. God's going to be telling us, you need to do this. And our mind's going to be telling us, no, you need to go do this. I don't know what it could be. You know, I know a friend and he was in this relationship for 3 years. He got out of the relationship and he would talk to me about it. And he's just like, I don't trust her, Valerie. I don't trust her. But he keeps going back and he thinks that in that moment, like when he goes back to the relationship, that it's going to be okay, that he's going to be able to trust her again. But no, it's the same thing. And he even told me before, I knew that I should not have gotten in that relationship. Like God was already telling me 3 years before to not enter into the relationship. And I didn't listen to God and I did it. And 3 years later, it didn't work out. And it's caused him so much hardship in that 3 years because of the choices that he decided to do. So sometimes we don't need to lean on our own understanding, and it's always going to happen. It's always, the enemy is going to attack us in our mind, and he's going to tell us something differently, and it's just going to continually do that. Whatever it is that you're going through, the enemy is going to pound you in your mind, and he's going to tell you, he's going to bring people to your family, your friends, maybe Christians. They're going to be telling you different things to do, but you need to listen to God. In that moment, listen to him. Out of all the chaos, just be in his presence and listen to his voice, and he will lead you and he will guide you to where it is that you need to go. So don't lean on your own understanding. Listen to God and listen to what he's telling you in that moment. And acknowledge him in all your ways. How can you acknowledge God? Well, you have to know him. You have to know God. In my, you know, with doing missions, I had to acknowledge that God was telling me to do missions. How did I have to know that God was telling me to do missions? How did I have to know that? Well, I had to have a relationship with him. You know, we have to have a relationship with God for him to lead us and guide us to where he wants us to go. A relationship is like I have with my friend, my best friend, a relationship with my mom, with my dad. God wants us to have that relationship with him. Talk to him every day, you know, before you go to sleep. Just talk to him. I just tell God, you know what? I'm going through this, or I'm really mad at you right now because you're not doing what I want you to do. But then later I'm like, okay, actually, I'm glad that I'm listening to you and doing what you're wanting me to do. But having that relationship with him, acknowledging him, that's what it is. And he will lead us and guide us and direct our paths and make them straight and where he wants us. And it's okay if we get off track, because sometimes we get off track. I got off track, but then God had to just really deal with my heart to direct me on the right path to where he wanted me to go. And so right now, you might not be following and doing what God's asking you to do, but he's pressing on your heart and he's dealing with your heart, or he might bring people in to try to help you get back on the right track. But listen to God. He loves you so much, no matter the things that you're going through, dealing with. You might think you're worthless and you can't do anything for the ministry, but no. You have a huge part in it. Everyone has a huge part in the ministry, and you have a testimony for a reason. There might be somebody that is going through something that you're only able to minister to. And your testimony means so much. It's very powerful. And do not let the enemy tell you otherwise and tell you that you're worthless and you have no part in the ministry and you can't do anything, or you used to do this or you used to do that, because he's going to do that. He's always going to attack you, and he's going to tell you differently, and he's going to tell you, oh, well, last week you were doing this. Like, no, you have victory, and you already overcame him, and you can tell him to leave and get out and flee, and he has no part in your life at all. So, in closing, I just want to say thank you so much for being here and listening to what God wanted to speak to you today. There is a reason that each and every one of you are here today to hear. It's not me up here speaking. It's God speaking through me, his Holy Spirit, just what it is that he wants you to hear. And I just pray that it would resonate in you. Even when I leave here, that God would just begin dealing with your heart. He's moving in this place and he's doing amazing and wonderful things, and you each have a part in the ministry, and he loves you so much, and he's going to use you guys, each and every one of you, for whatever different reasons, to your family, to your coworkers, to your friends. He's going to use you here in this church. Maybe there's youth. Find your place. Find what it is, your passion, what you love doing. My passion is just loving on people. I can sit there and listen to them. I can cry with them, laugh at them, whatever it is. I can just be there. And sometimes I'm like, that's not a lot, you know, but it is. Like, don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. Find your passion, and that will lead you to your purpose. Your passion will lead you to your purpose. Find what you love, and God's going to direct you to what it is that you're supposed to do. So thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'll be praying for you guys. And also, I'm not fully funded. I'm at $1,400, you know, my budget, my missionary, so I have to raise my funds through family, churches, and friends. And I just pray that you would keep me in your prayers, because I battle a lot of spiritual warfare, the enemy continually attacking. This ministry that I'm working with, it's very precious to the enemy, you know, these girls, and just so much corruption. So just please be keeping me in your prayers, because I do need them. And I pray that if God puts it on your heart to give to me, whatever it is that you're able to give monthly, 10, 15, I don't know. I just pray that you would be obedient. And I know that God will bless you for doing so. Thank you so much.